We build our lives on hopes and dreams, but there comes a time when dreaming's not enough.
You've got to prove what you can do. Let your passion shine through. The
road is... Hello and welcome to Real Estate Hot Topics, the Elite Performers. I'm Lee Woodward. Today's program is a gold-plated special edition. When it comes to the world of sales, it's competitive. And there's one man that's been leading the pack for many years. He holds the record for being the best car salesperson in the world. And has relentless determination and a unique ability to make customers for life. In the sales arena, today's interview is with a sales heavyweight, winning nearly 100 awards in the sales field. He's been Australia's top salesperson for Ford, Volkswagen and Mazda, earning him such titles as the Car King, the Sales Master. His results shocked the international selling industry, which led to a feature front cover interview with Success Magazine. Today's interview is with Mr. Frank Woodward. The list of awards in front of me is too long to read. But some of those highlights were in 1985, achieved a world record for 653 sales. He was the number one Ford light commercial car salesperson, the first double pacemaker award ever awarded in the world, and took 51 orders in 7 days. This interview will allow you to paint your sales picture of what it takes in dedication, communication with a customer to achieve your sales numbers. Frank is also the author of his book, A Life in Sales, which is some of our highlights of today's interview and also behind the scenes in his thinking of what makes him a true sales champion. Frank Woodward has 4 sons in the selling industry who are all top of their field in their chosen profession, of which I am one. Conducting today's interview has been exciting, as you're about to hear his client service strategies that broke him through in an industry where people wait for things to happen. He goes into detail about his powerful follow-up and customer focus that made him the people helper. Closing was a natural thing, as he just expected people needed help and would want to buy through him. Please welcome to the program the author of The Sales Life and also my father, Mr. Frank Woodward. Frank, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Lee.
How was it to be interviewed by your son?
I always thought it would happen, to be honest, because with us all being in sales and all of us being champions, I think we've got a lot in common.
Dad, we've had an incredible response to the book, and although we focus on the real estate industry, selling is a profession. And right in the first part of your book, we've got relationship selling. But before we get into the book, just some background on yourself prior to what we've just heard in our first track. What age did you get into selling?
I was 41 when I got into selling. Before that, I'd been a full-time entertainer. And I also did stand-up comedy, bit of emceeing, but I got a full-time living, which was really good.
Age 41 to come into this profession of selling, it wasn't like you're in a corporate background. Yes, you're in the entertainment industry. What made that decision happen that you think, stuff it, I'll get a job in cars?
Well, what happened was I was waiting for your mum and the other 3 children to come over, and I seen the job advertised, and I went down, told them I had done a little bit of entertaining and selling of cars, and they gave me a start. It was $164 a week plus 10% commission. That was 1981.
Everyone's just heard your record of world records and incredible sales results. And for many people coming to selling, it doesn't work straight off. What happened at that first dealership?
Well, what happened was, it was a large glass dealership opposite the Manly Leagues Club. And what they did is they put me right on this table with all the sun shining in, and they all went in nice cool offers. So I decided that whoever came through that door was my customer. And with no experience, I sold 8 cars in 3 days, which was the normal average for any salesman. And then what happened was, I'd read all these brochures about rust-proof and paint protection, alarms and all tyre washing and everything. So I started adding them into. and all of a sudden we went from $1,000 profit to $3,000 to $4,000, and the other salesmen were not happy.
So you were maximising each deal from the add-on sales, which is what we know in the car industry. Salespeople get lazy, they don't want to ask the right questions, and you were maximising every dollar.
That is exactly right, Lee. And what I found out was, if I was working on 10% and I made 4,000, I had 400 to come. If I only made 1,000, I only had 100 to come. I had a family to keep. And what I find out is happening again today is nobody seems to know how to ask for that order. My normal routine would be test drive, back to my desk, cup of coffee, order form out, can I have a copy of your licence, and then start at the top of the price, add all my extras in, sealed at the bottom, you sign here, I sign here, give them the order and go. I never thought anybody wasn't going to buy from me.
So there was a true expectation that this is going to go ahead, whereas quite often there's a reluctance to a salesperson feeling nervous about asking for that order. And from what we've seen in this, it's salespeople don't want to seem pushy, but your psychology was that you weren't pushy, that you were helping.
Yes, I regard myself as a people helper. I help them to buy cars. When I come back from the test drive, I immediately sat them down, took the order form out, until they said no, carried on. Can I please have a copy of your license? And I went through it as if it was going to happen. Showed them the valuation or discount, give them a copy of the order, and arranged a delivery time for them.
This is such an important point. Too many salespeople wait for a buyer sign that does not exist in the way of please let me buy off you versus the people helper. And for the first time myself now, I'm realising just how many cars you sold in such a rapid rate, and these people just probably would have thought, well, let's do it.
Well, the point was, I was shown the god of sales, Joe Girard, and his total on through his book, The World's Greatest Salesman. Every year, I beat his total for the first 6 years, and I was Ford's number one salesman.
And we just have to be really clear on this, so our listener can understand. Dad, how many vehicles were you selling per month?
68 vehicles per month, and my best year was 1,007. I'd done 100 vehicles in a month on 13 occasions in my career.
Now, 13 occasions that you did those numbers and in excess of 1,000 cars. And just for those doubters that think, you know, was it fleet, was it one-to-one, how were they sold?
No, it was one-to-one, belly-to-belly, and also my finance rate was 68% penetration. I'd sell the whole unit and deliver it the next day.
And do you think that doing that volume and having that momentum, people did find it natural to buy through you?
Absolutely. And people were buying from me four, five, six times. I'd see a young girl coming out 12, and 4 years later, we knew she was 16, and we were advising them what car to get them. I built it on a client base. I think it was the first real Australian to go into client services with bottles of wine, flowers, birthday cards, Christmas cards, thank you cards. When the car was 1 year old, they got a car. We had it in such a way that 10% of my income went into what I did, which was to keep my customers happy.
One thing we know about business today is marketing isn't working, meaning expensive ads, trying to get people to know your services available, people being on billboards and trying to build a profile in a fake way. These numbers are world class. There's no salesperson in the world that have done these type of numbers in your industry and in any selling industry. The question I have now, which our listener would love to hear, is how did Frank Woodward generate business from the repeat customers and your customer experience?
Well, what I would do is I would ask a customer and give them an envelope with five cards inside, and I'd say to them, everybody comes in with one of those cards, you will receive 200 cash on delivery. So they were telling their friends, and the backup service was good. If there was a problem and the dealer principal, and there is problems with dealer principals, I decided that I would make it happen for myself. In 1 year, I spent $68,000 making good the promises I've made, and it worked for me all the time. I'd get someone come and say, Mrs. Smith bought a car a few 2 weeks ago, we'll buy it. The car was facing the right direction. It was a lady, it was a nice rose, it was a guy, it was a bottle of wine. And we were bringing customer service to a different depth that they had in motor industry.
And this is something I picked up on in your book. You didn't rely on the dealership or the owner of the dealership to make the customer experience happen. You would take it into your own responsibility that the customer is yours, regardless that you worked within the infrastructure of a dealership. And if it wasn't right, you would fix it because you valued that return business.
Absolutely. And another thing as well, there's mums and dads, there's friends, there's children, and they all come back. They're all, I used to average 47% referral back to me, and everybody bought a car of me. If I was at Ford, they bought a Ford. But if I moved to Mazda, they'd follow me and go to Mazda. If I went to Holden, they'd follow me and go to Holden. And they'd ring them up. We'd remind them of the birthday. We'd thank the car. We'd thank the person. And we were full on. I had one lady who did nothing but customer service. And it worked wonders for us. I once had had a special on a little Ford. And we tricked her up and put nice cloth trim and everything like that. We sold 54 cars in 6 working days.
In today's selling industry, we teach a skill called follow-up. And we use automation to get people to remind them on certain days and dates of things they need to do. In your career, technology wasn't the important part. It was the customer. But what I would like to discuss is how brilliant your scheduling system was, or more importantly to me, how simple it was to be as effective as it is. Could you explain how you scheduled your leads of who you'd be following up and how you would do it? Because it's a known fact, you did not have time or wait for people to walk on the car lot.
That's right. And employed a lady called Doreen Podmore who had sales experience. And what we did, when the deal was finished up the Friday and you picked up the car, we immediately made up a card. We made a birthday card, a Christmas card, made a thank you card. And then what we did is we put them in order. So if it was January the 7th, both, that went in the first month of the year. We had these long trays where they come through, and I'd come in the morning, and it'd be the 7th. I'd pick it up, put a stamp on it, put it in the letterbox. We never, ever, ever typed anything. We wrote it by hand, and we had a red card for Christmas, blue card for the birthday, and we used to have this, like, beigey coloured card for the car, because we used to send the car a birthday and say, today you are 1 year old. Just a reminder. And then the second year, we'd say, do you know you can update to today's month for the same price?
So just let's be clear on this. Your scheduling system was activated in the way of the car was delivered and all these cards are written at that point into the manual scheduling system. So when
Absolutely.
You walk in yourself, there was a physical, I'll grab it, I'll put a stamp on it, which gives you the psychology that this person's a working lead. And I like this because in computers, we miss that because it automates out and we don't always get it. But you would look at that name, it brings them into your subconscious. So would you ring at this time or what would you do?
Absolutely. What we would do as well is I would get the service schedules and I'd see who was coming in. And it was Mrs. Smith. I'd make sure I was there when she appeared with the car, say hello, give it a car to drive for the day. And I'd done service as well. And they'd say, if any of your friends look after a car. It's amazing what I was doing because the dealers wouldn't do it in them days. I don't care what they said. It was mine. If you work for somebody who doesn't want to do customer service, leave. But me, I do customer service all the time. Just recently, I went into my son's car yard with my same old methods and increased it by 100% in a month. And it works. People want to be notified. They want thank you cards. They want Christmas cards. They want birthday cards. They want to be known. And that's what I did. I made every one of them a friend.
And what's important about this is I know today if someone rang me and said, Lee, your car needs servicing, we've arranged another car for you, please, we're picking it up or dropping it off, you'd feel important. And in this world of cars, all our listener out there, you're driving a car, you're probably your fourth or fifth, has this ever happened to you? Probably not. You're waiting for your little speedometer to tell you it's time to go in or usually it's over. Yet a courtesy call from the salesman that looked after you, why would you go anywhere else?
That's right. And one of the things I'd do, it was a finance contract, and we'd pay in, say, $80 a week. 3 years down the track, because 2.5 would break even, I'd ring up and I'd say, Mr. Smith, it's Frank Woodward. You're driving a present a 2003 Mazda. I can put you into a 2006 Mazda for the very same money, because we're looking for your sort of stock. And they'd ring up and they'd say, how do you do that? I said, bring your car in. Since they brought the car in, we valued the car. Don't forget, they'd already paid 3 years, so they start a new contract. All of a sudden, I was bringing them. They couldn't believe it. They said, I can't believe it. I'm driving a brand new car, and I'm paying the same payments. They told all the kids at school. I used to always support charities. We'd done everything. We had an incredible PMA, or prime marketing area. We were getting 57% of our PMA, wherever I work, which is the prime marketing area, which is incredible.
And a prime marketing area, especially in the car industry, is untouched because people are waiting for that person to walk on the lot and buy. That is not what you did. You generated the interest before they even thought of it.
I'll tell you what I did do. I used to also put an advert in the Chinese newspaper, in the German newspaper, in the Manly Daily, in the Telegraph, and asking people, did they want any cars? I'd done free seminars for women. And honestly, the women that I had that worked for me in sales, they were absolutely outstanding. There was one girl there taking $130,000 a year home, and she only worked every alternative weekend. I think sales is the best thing that you could ever get your children into. I'd love to see where someone like myself or somebody like yourself, Lee, could go into school and get years 10 and 12, and let's start building the foundation now so that when they leave school, they'll have a job. And we will have some expert choices as salespeople.
And this is interesting you say this. What's your observation of women in the car industry now?
Well, at one time, you never seen a woman in the cars at all, but now you see loads of them. And women are that much better, you know, with a guy and a woman. And, you know, when I was selling, I was never disturbed, and I always had myself against two of them. I never had a problem. I can't see or understand why people have problems selling. I reckon if I was in real estate, I'd probably be doing 40 or 50 a month, because all I do is follow up and thank them and go out and see them, watch the kids dance and do everything, support the charities and everything. And as I said, we're talking about 25 years ago, I was fully funding this myself. Like 10% of my income went on my customer service.
Dad, just before, you mentioned the words arms and legs. And when I was a young kid come to see on the car lot, I would see all these people around you, this incredibly motivated team that were with you, servicing and helping you to do what you did best, which is you are the ultimate professional closer. In our world, in today's new society, we call it an effective business unit. And really, you were one of the first kind of this, especially in the car industry. What did this team do, and how did you make them perform at such a corporate athlete level?
Well, what I did is all the sales that we had went to the company. And what I would do is I'd have somebody come in at 6, somebody at 7 o'clock. We'd sit down, we'd have our breakfast together, and would motivate everybody from 7 to 8. Never start with an argument. If somebody done something wrong, we didn't make a big deal about it. And I started first with one girl. And she, in them days, you had to do your own transfers. So you had to drive across to Parramatta and bring it back to Sydney. So that was called arms and legs. I started with two girls then, one preparing the delivery, though I always didn't deliver myself, and another girl helped me with finance. Then I taught them both how to sell, both how to do test drives, both how to do everything, like little mini Frank Woodwards. And then what we did after that, I had a personal assistant, which was absolutely invaluable. My first assistant, Anne Daly, was superb. I dressed her the same as I dressed my salesman. And what we do, we were at Mazda, we had blue striped shirts, blue ties, dark trousers. We all looked the same. We built offices the same, and we got a percentage of the profits. But I had that situation where wherever anything was on, I turned up. You know, the Italian festival, I supported Freshwater, I supported the school soccer teams, and everybody's come to me. I was Manly's Rugby Union's main sponsor for 21 years. And the people that come in there, you know, the Tongans and the Maoris were great players. They come in and they only bought the cars of Frank Woodward.
Because that was the culture of you were the person that would look after them.
Absolutely. And I did look after them. And you would be shocked at how many people I've sold. People would come back to me 16 and 17 times. And just recently, only the other day, I went out and bought a car for somebody that was $3,000 cheaper than what they'd been shown elsewhere. And I always put myself out. It's no problem to me. I want to be with people. I love being with people. And as I said, I became a people helper, not a salesman.
And in my observation, the greatest salespeople in the world, of which you are, have a need and a desire to serve other people. And I used to like one of those sayings that was on your business cards.
Yeah, that saying was, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. The two words, care and know, mean so much. And you know something? If you've got the car facing the right direction, adjusted the seat, off they go, and they're going out being your ambassadors and telling all the friends, buy a car of Frank Woodward. And that's what was happening.
As mentioned earlier in the program, we've had a phenomenal response to your book, A Life in Sales. Can I ask you, what made you want to write this book?
Well, I really wanted people to understand what sales was about and what a great career it is. I was talking to Joe Girard one day and also to Ed Litchfield, and they said it was a fact 68% of people walk out of the dealership or out of your clubs, Harvey Norman's, anywhere you like, simply because it's lack of service. The other day I went to a well-known shop and this guy reckons everything Australian's his. There was a guy on his mobile on the phone. I stood and waited and he said, yeah, what do you want? I said, I just want to get some T68 copy discs. He said, they're over there. So I went to there, then there was the general head guy talking to a girl. I said, I want these T68 discs. Went across there and found them. I come back. He put his phone down. He said, is that cash or credit? I said, it's credit. He said, do you want a bag? I said, no. I said, you wouldn't do such a thing like advertising, would you? Not one single person came in the store. Go in your RSLs and go in all your... They don't know how to serve people. In the booklet, I've covered how to talk to an older person, a younger person. Look through what I'm saying. Highlight it. Turn the page. I'm telling you, they just don't know how to sell. I think there should be a national schools. From the schools, I think you should be teaching kids to sell from when they're 16 to 18.
There's something here in the book that I really liked on page 16, and it's the 10 basics of a good sale. And the first one is, identify your objectives and goals. Step us through this.
First of all, my goal was Joe Girard's world record. I identified with myself, and what I did is every single month I got my record against him. I found out that I was selling between 20 and 30%, and I was driven by beating that. I always had a winning attitude. I always thought to myself, yeah, although there's only 20 million Australians against 300 million Americans, I can still beat you. And I did.
Now, number three here, you've got maximise your selling time. And this is a big issue where salespeople get caught up at the wrong time with the wrong people doing the wrong things. How did Frank Woodward maximise his selling time?
Right, I'll tell you. What happens is the normal selling day is around about 8 o'clock till about 6. I'd get in very early, around about 5:30, open the hatches, put the lights on, tell them that we're open, hire the flag. And then what I'd do is I'd do all the mundane things that I needed to do. I'd put stuff on Ann's desk, put it on the salesman's desk. When the salesman went 7 o'clock, I maximised their time. We went through the days, went through the leads, we put them on the board. I used to say to them, if you haven't rang this customer tonight and I get him, you won't get the commission.
Can I just pause on that one? You just used the words there, you went through the leads, which is what you're referring to as unsigned business. They're sitting there, they've shown some interest.
That is exactly right, and it's the first step towards buying a car. I used to still, after 6 o'clock, and when I was writing a quote down, I'd ask the person, when's the best time to ring you? Are you an early morning person or a late morning? Oh, yeah, you can ring me any time, Frank. So I'd mark that on my copy, up to 7 p.m. at night, up to 7 a.m. in the morning. And I contact them and I find out. And sometimes it was just a small shift in direction. I got the colour they wanted or another $200 on the trade. And they used to give me deposits over the phone. And I used to maximise everything. And I'll tell you one thing that's really missing out on it is the service. The quality service I gave people was, if you come in for a car, I had another car waiting for you. We undone the child seat, put the child in, and off you went.
So you took the thinking out of the worry, and they would recognise the little things.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's an interesting thing, but in real estate, people come to pick up the keys for their house, and it's the biggest investment in their life. They walk into a real estate agency, and they'll say, I'm here to collect the keys for 10 High Street, and people go, oh, I'll see if the salesman's here. And this sick feeling goes through the people's mind of, oh my God, they've forgotten us. And then they get a big bunch of keys, nothing's labelled, and it's a dreadful experience with a removals truck out the front. And this is our delivery, and what you're saying on here, in the real estate industry, getting the keys labelled and in into sections or groups of keys is putting the child seat in your industry.
One of the things I would do, if say that was the sale of the house, the day before delivery, I'd go and make sure the bins are empty, check the house was clean, make sure everything was right, and if I had to adjust anything, I would have done it. When they walked through that door, they were a happy, happy customer. And that's the difference between, as I said, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care.
Now, number four here, you got service is everything. Take great care of your customers and you will build a client base for a lifetime. And this is what you're talking about.
At this present moment in time, and I've just sold these two cars at the weekend, I've sold 16,824 sales in the last 25 years. If you look at that figure against anybody, it's a Guinness Book of Records, which we're applying for at the moment. But all I've done it for is, if I've got 500 new customers and 250 old customers, I've got 750. I can easily sell a week 50 or 60 cars. I don't do fleet, I do belly-to-belly and new and used. But the service I give them brings them back.
And that's what we've got here in number five. Every good sale generates another.
Exactly. And you know what happens? I've just put up $500 as the first prize for a local soccer team. But guess what? I've got 30 or 40 mums know, and Frank Wood has donated. If you need a car, you must speak to Frank Woodward. I leave thousands of me cards lying around with people. And one time I went to Warringah on the Thursday night and put a card on every single car. Do you know I sold 15 cars?
So you went to the local shopping centre and just put your photo business card on every windscreen?
I absolutely did.
Number six is break down the barriers to the sale. I think a lot of salespeople get lost with two barriers. You would never give up. What do you do here?
This is going to shock you. I like to create, an objection. And then, say for instance, the colour. And they say to me, well, we're only looking for a silver one. And I said, if we had a silver car now ready, would you buy it? Mm-hmm. And they'd say, yeah. Say, well, we've got a silver one. Let's go down here. Another thing I used to do as well is that they said to me, it was their anniversary, I'd say, look, I'm going to show you dinner at Stella Blue, and all you used to do, go in, say, I'm Frank Woodward's guest, and go down there. Little things don't mean a lot, they mean everything. And this is the problem with today. I don't see anybody with any real sales training. The market out there for sales is incredible.
The opportunity.
Oh, the opportunity is incredible.
Number seven, close the sale by transferring the feeling of the purchase.
What I do there is I emotionally show them the same way I feel about the car, that they've made a great decision in buying off me. If they've got a problem, they can even ring me over night time. If the car should, for any reason, break down, just give me a ring, we'll give you a loan car. When the car comes in for service, we clean the car inside and out, just a couple of lads I have working for me. And it's amazing what people do. I get Christmas cards, I get bottles of wine, I get presents off people all over the place. And people say to me, if you're not working, where would you buy? And I say, I'd buy wherever you think, but let me go with you. And I'll go out with them and save them $2,000 or $3,000. I'll negotiate on their behalf just because they're friends.
And this ties us into number eight. Never let an opportunity go by always having a do-it-now attitude.
Absolutely. If anybody comes into the yard, if I get one of my salespeople and they haven't asked for the order, I march out and I say, Mr. Smith, I just want to say one question. Tommy's just come in to me now here. I want to know why you're not buying off us. Can you write it down? And they'll say, well, the trading's not enough. I said, I'll look at the trading. What's the second thing? Did you not like it? Yeah, he was nice and polite in one thing or another, but I need more time to think about it. I'll say, okay, we'll give you another date. Well, let me go. I'll look at the valuation. And I'll say, I'll tell you what I'll do. If I pay $500 more for that trade, do we have a deal? And I stop talking. Then the onus is on them. Next minute, you've got an order. Then you still get your 500 back. You get your rust proof, your paint, your fabric. It's honestly just selling yourself to that customer. And there's none of it around at the moment.
And number nine, which is such an important part of selling, is the sales presentation. But you came up with, and it's in your book, use the quote for gold system all the time. You had a method of stepping them through the process which gets them to yes.
What I did was I had a duplicate book and I put a carbon paper in between. I put the date in, say the 3rd of the 12th, 06. I'd put Ford Falcon 2006. A little starbite underneath automatic, air conditioning, power steering, central locking, ABS, airbags, alloy wheels, and go through the lot, 3-year warranty. Then I'd retick them and go through them with them, and what they did, they had a clear picture of what they were seeing. But don't forget something, Lee, which is very, very vital. The longer they're with you, the more they're going to buy.
And what you're referring to here is, in your world, in the car industry, they are the deliverables of the sale. In the real estate industry, it's settlement. It's how the deposit's paid. Is the dishwasher staying? And I think if our listener could just pause for a second, and even if you went back to your listing inspection report, use the quote for gold system. Even in carbon copy, you'd have a book to follow up before hitting the databases, but it would show your book of business.
And honesty. Lee, if I was selling now a four-bedroom house, say, in DY, I would put DY area, four bedrooms, three bathrooms, two large gardens, two toilets, billy table, and give them a quote, honestly and open, sign it with your name, get their number, give them the top copy, staple your card to it, and give it to them. That's honesty. They'll go somewhere else, and nobody else will even bother giving them anything.
And then number 10 is follow up on everything, every time.
It is. And what we do, we have a specialty card made up. We have your name, your wife's name, the children's names, the date of birth of everybody. Then what we do is we ring them after 10 days and say to them, how's the car travelling? Is everything okay? They say, yeah. Or they might say, oh, the number plate's not quite right. Say, bring it back in. Nothing is a problem for us. And then after 10 days, we say to them, have you got any friends that might need a car? And they say, oh, well, Mrs. Jones has seen mine. Have you got Mrs. Jones' number? No, we got the address. We nip round and say, look, we were talking to Mrs. Smith five doors down. She says, you're after a car. Can we be of any help?
Within your book, one thing that we've had a tremendous response to is everything was broken into selling keys. And key five is women are a driving force.
I find women in cars absolutely unbelievable. One of the first girls I had, Andrea King, who's gone to much better things, she could knock out 24, 25 cars on her own, and that's why she earned such great money. But she dressed right, we all looked right, nothing was a problem. If she was with the customer and they wanted a cup of tea, I'd go and get the cup of tea, and she'd say, this is my boss, Frank. I'd give him a cup of tea. I'd try and get in the conversation. Before they left, the girls, I said to them, make sure you walk the customer to the door, that you care. Open the door for them and followed up and say, do you want to speak to Frank before we go? And we try to close. But the girls listened. Sometimes the guys wouldn't listen. In 1986, I started doing something of a Thursday night, which was brilliant for me. I got all the women to come in, and we showed them how to change a wheel. We told them what to do in an emergency, where the bonnet catch was, where the boot was, and we went through little things with them. Just like a little bit of, you know, get your home stuff. But the women were coming to me saying to me, what's the chance of a job? And the problem was there was nobody then working within the car business. So few in real estate. But nowadays, those women, there's about 20% women. Women are so good with other women. And you know something? That little feminine touch, you know, a bit of a laugh, you know, talking about the kids, you know, your kids go to school, mine go to school, breaks down the barriers. I have had, in my free seminars, I used to get sometimes 20 and 30, and I'd say, bring your mum and dad along. Because when they brought the mums and dads along, then I could sit down and talk to them about cars, about something else. Look at the world today. Condoleezza Rice, who's absolutely... could be the first colour president in the United States. She certainly could. Hillary Clinton, even our local girl, Gillian McGrath, full page colour adverts. And women are the driving force. All of a sudden, there's more and more women coming into more and more sales. And I think it's a brilliant career for women. I do. They can drive a nice car or they can get in real estate. Successful people, as you know, Lee, come to your seminars. And a lot of them are women nowadays.
It's very clear that we can hear your passion for this profession of selling. And throughout your book, you've got this great little system of dream, believe, plan, act, and achieve. A motivation is definitely one of your key assets. And even in a time when you've had every reason to be down, where are you now since leaving the big business of professional selling. I know still you can't keep away from it. You do some work here and there. But what's been happening with Frank Woodward in the last few years, and how has your motivation got you through this?
Well, I suppose everybody knows that, you know, that I got cancer. And I never thought it would beat me. I didn't. And during the cancer, I also had to have a quadruple bypass. I thought, well, bit of plumbing these two, so we'll get on with them. But I'll tell you what I dream about, very sincerely. I dream about a time when the millions of dollars don't walk out of the country because we've got great salespeople. I dream about the time when I can go into a school of a Friday afternoon or any day in the week and leave the children behind and show them these year 10, year 12, what can be achieved in sales. I think sales is every bit as good as a plan as an apprenticeship. Yet they hang on for university, they don't do nothing. Let's teach them sales and the millions of dollars that are walking out this country. For God's sake, let's keep it here. It's our money, that's what we do. I believe that what I have achieved in sales, I achieved it because I wanted to it. I planned it. I planned an assault on Joe Girard's record. When he done 622, I think it was, in his 50th year selling, I done 654. I beat him in the next year, but I planned it. I believed I could plan it, everything, and I acted upon it. That was my goal. My goal now, as I say, and I mean so sincerely, I would love to see sales come into this government's plans for our children leaving school. Because the simple thing is, it's an honourable profession, providing it's done with honour. I've achieved most of the things in my life at the moment, and as you're well aware, I'm now going to movies. I've got a new company, and it's called IIIA. It's called Investing in Australians and Australian. In Australia, I plan to make work for these children. I plan to find jobs for these children. And I plan to make our film industry second only to America. Already, I've already got one movie done and finished. I've got 3 million towards the second one. There is not one single overseas talent, only Australian actors, only Australian producers. But I'd dearly love to finish this, Lane's Hate Ya. I would love Mr. Howard to give us permission to go into school and let's speak to these children and the girls, youths as we call them, and tell them that one of the best professions that mine and my family have has been in sales. That would be my dream.
Well, Dan, I would like to thank you for, one, agreeing to do this interview and clearly sharing your passion for this incredible industry. The book, A Life in Sales, is a brilliant read and one that, as you know, goes to our clients. And thank you for joining us. You're an incredible salesperson. And a salesperson that definitely needs to be listened to within this industry.
To finish up, Lee, I'd like to leave you with the song that your mum wrote, especially for this recording. It's called To Dream Is Not Enough.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We build our lives on hopes and dreams, but there comes a time when dreaming's not enough.
You've got to prove what you can do. Let your passion shine through.
The road is tall, but dreaming's not enough. Composers have a dream of how a symphony will sound.
And some dreams seem to vanish all too soon. Columbus
had to sail the world to prove that it was round.
Armstrong
dreamt of walking on the moon.
Dreaming's not enough.
Dreaming's not enough, no.
Dreaming's not enough.
Heroes of the past went down that long, hard road.
That's not all it takes.
it's not enough. Had a dream of peace upon the earth, but a dreaming's not enough to make that real.
Martin Luther
had his dream of equal rights for all, and a poor man's dream is just a symbol. It's not enough. It's not enough.
No, no, no. We all have our dreams, but it's not enough. No. We all have our dreams.
It's not enough.
To purchase Frank Woodward's book, you can contact Prime Training on 1300 367 412. That was 1300 367 412.